two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, to Two Giant Goofballs, the New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
I'm Rob. Let's talk about some fantasy draft options.
Oh, yeah, we got... Listen, there are so many options here. We have options. We're like, you know... It's like The Bachelor at this point here. We have so many things we could do in the first round. We could trade up. We could trade down. We could trade back in. We could make a trade for a player.
There's only one Chipotle for a burrito.
Yeah, there's only one rose to give out, though, guys. Only one rose. So let's get into some options here. Now, I will tell you guys up front, I went over in this list here for us to talk about tonight, all of the options. So Rob and I don't necessarily think these options are going to happen, don't get me wrong. But we're giving you all the options, because even if we don't agree with it, as opposed to just ignoring the option, we're letting you know what the option is, and maybe in some cases why we don't agree with it. So Let's go for number one here. And number one is we trade up because we want to get a first-tier quarterback prospect. What I mean by the first tier is the big three, obviously. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. Those are the big three. So it's pretty obvious Chicago is not going to go ahead and trade that pick. They wouldn't have traded away Justin Fields otherwise. It's pretty obvious that the Commanders are not trading away that pick. It's pretty obvious, again, or they wouldn't have traded Sam Howell away. That leaves you with the Patriots. Which, to be very frank with you, I don't see that happening either.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised.
The only way I think it happens, because obviously they're picking three, so they get whatever is the leftover of those three. If they don't like that leftover, then I get it. You know, don't make the move just to make the move. If somebody else is interested in the player and you're really not, then, you know, go for it. But I just think that they're going to go for and take whatever quarterback at those three are left over at that point, personally. But in this option here, we're going to hypothetically talk about the scenario where the Patriots decide they're going to trade the pick. And we want the pick. I don't know who this quarterback is. Hopefully it's Jaden Daniels if we're making this kind of move. But We want the pick, apparently. So we got two different options that I did. Now, what I did with all these is I went through the trade calculator based on picks and did it that way. If I used a next year's pick, I used it as if it was the last pick of that round, basically, because obviously it's a lesser value because it's next year. Who knows what it is? So in the first option, the Giants, basically, we trade all three of our first picks this year. Our first pick, our second round pick at 47, and our third round pick at 70, and that was enough trade capital to do it. The other option was to trade away our first round pick next year and our third round pick. Now, personally, I don't see that as being enough to get it done. Now, that's may mark on the trade calculator, but there's if that's what it takes, and listen, the Giants love whoever the player is, I would go with option number two in a heartbeat. Give up next year's first, give up a third round pick, who cares? You got the quarterback that you love. But I don't think that's enough to do it, personally. I think there's going to be, in that scenario, they're not going to call Joe Shane. Like, hey, Joe, what do you want to give us for this? They're going to call Joe Shane. They're going to call the Vikings. They're going to call the Raiders. They're going to call the Broncos.
The only plus is the Patriots still get two first-round picks out of the deal instead of a first, second. So you get a little bit more in a long-term value.
Depending on what the Giants do.
Correct.
And that's always the thing. You don't know in these, you know, scenarios, but, you know.
But any first-round pick is better than the second round.
Yes, depending on the draft. That's part of it as well. Correct. We're talking about next year. You know, like if you told me, you know, in 2022, I can have my pick of the first round quarterbacks. Well, that's just Kenny Pickett. I would take a third round quarterback. I would take a third round quarterback this year over that. It drafts matter. It depends on which one we're talking about. you know, and it's way too early to say if this draft is better than next year's draft or whatever the case may be. I hate when guys do that because a lot changes in a year. You don't have, you don't, if you need proof of that, ask Jaden Daniels. He was probably a mid-round pick at that point before this last year. Now he's going to be probably, I think, in my mind, the second overall pick at this draft. So things do change pretty much. So again, I think if that's the deal and we love the quarterback that's left there at three and Joe Shane thinks that's the guy to build around, again, I would make that deal in a heartbeat that they're going to say, hey, just give us next year's pick and third-round pick and next year's first, I should say, in your third-round pick and give us this year's first, obviously. Yeah, done. Deal. I just don't think that's enough to get it done. I really don't. I think you're going to have to overpay to do this because we have seen that in the past. A lot of these deals in the past have been three first-round picks.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that might make it work is the fact that they go back three spots.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Compared to, like, so to say, if you're the Vikings trying to get up there and you're, what, 20?
Yeah.
Like, that's a little different. You're going back three spots compared to 14 or whatever it is.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember what year was it that was it 2018, I want to say, was the draft? Where, here we go. So this, I was trying to remember the exact scenario. It was the Jets when they traded down to go ahead and get the third overall pick back in 2018. So they had the sixth overall pick. This is the same exact scenario. Obviously, we're talking years later, but what they did is they gave up their sixth overall pick, their 37th, their 49th, and a second rounder the following year. So they gave up basically 3 seconds to move up to the extra spot. So if we do one first and a third, is that enough based on that math? I don't know.
It might be.
I think you might have to throw something else in the mix, but I'm just looking at, I think that if you can do a move like that, it's worth it. But it becomes to a point where if you're giving up a whole lot more, then it's time to move on because you can't give up the whole farm. Because I'm not big on you can't, you know, this idea is like you have to pick a quarterback or build a team and then pick a quarterback. You can build a team around a quarterback, guys. You can.
Yeah.
Anybody who says otherwise is just a moron. I'm sorry. They're just a moron. But you have to have the picks and the capital to do it. And if you give up the farm to go ahead and move down a couple of spots, you might not have the picks to do it anymore. And that's
by the time you get the picks, guess what? You're paying that young quarterback that you want to build around.
Or you've ruined them.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and that's what happens. Next thing you know, you David Card him, you know.
Just field
him. You've ruined them. I mean, well, Justin Fields, I don't know. I was never a big Justin Fields fan to begin with. He's been what I thought he'd be. A great running quarterback and an average thrower at best.
On the Bears, so I guess you got to give him a little bit more credit than that.
We'll see. We'll see what he does now that he goes to Pittsburgh at that point. See what he does. But, you know.
He's supposed to be sitting behind Russ, so we'll find out.
Well, here's the thing. Can he take the job from Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson is not that great a quarterback. If he can take the job from him, that, you know.
I think he can.
Well, if he sits on the bench, then it just tells us that everything we thought was right. But anyway, yeah, again, I think if we can do something like that where we give up next year's first and a third round this year, it makes sense. I'm down. If it's the right quarterback and it's one that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll both have belief in. But if we got to start giving up multiple first round picks, I'm out.
Yeah, same. It's too much.
So, all right. Scenario number two. Number two. So we're at an interesting spot there at pick six there, because obviously, as we mentioned, we kind of expected the draft to go QB, QB, QB. So when we pick at six, the first tier are all gone at that point. And that's in that scenario, unless we're wrong. Listen, if we sit at six and one happens to fall in our lap and they love him and they can take him, great. That's the dream scenario, basically. But if it goes as we expect and those top three are gone, now you're down to the next three, which is J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. I think taking any of them at pick six is early. It's not the dumbest thing in the world if you have that much faith in him. He just better freaking pan out or that's your job. But I think it's a little early. So the other option we have is, what if we trade back a little bit, you know, and go ahead and pick up a couple picks and still go ahead and get one of those quarterbacks? So, you know, the rumors are, obviously, the Vikings love J.J. McCarthy. That's been the rumor forever.
That makes sense, too, because J.J. McCarthy's probably, you know, assistant quarterback being over there. And what was, what was Kirk Cousins?
Average.
Yeah, he was kind of like a system quarterback. He wasn't the guy that goes out and make these crazy plays.
I would say he's a system quarterback. He's just, he's that guy that, like, he's the Marty Schottenheimer of QBs. He looks really good in the regular season. As soon as the postseason hits, he's just done. He doesn't shine at the brightest moments.
Touche.
But, so, I'm looking at the spots that basically, you got to figure it out this way. We need a quarterback. The Vikings need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. The Broncos need a quarterback. Assuming, again, the top three are all quarterbacks and everybody stays put where they're at the first three. So that leaves three quarterbacks in four holes. Not going to work out well for somebody. So Broncos pick number 12. Raiders pick number 13. You want to make sure you stay in front of those guys if you want a chance to get your pick pretty much there. Now, the big guy, again, like I said, a lot of the guys like J.J. McCarthy. There's a lot of rumors out that the Giants love J.J. McCarthy. To me, whenever there's a rumor about the New York Giants in Joe Shane's era, it's wrong.
Yeah, unless it's like a double stakeout.
Yeah.
But I doubt it.
Giants will take a receiver no matter what last year. That worked out well. Giants hate Kayvon Thibodeau. That worked out well. Whatever gets leaked to the media is Joe Shane leaking it, point blank. I'm sorry.
I mean, they didn't lie because he got Hyatt, but that's besides the point.
That's in the first. We're in the first. So let's say that I'm right for a minute here. And I could be wrong. Maybe I am wrong. And somebody has just some really good information. Everybody else is kind of run with it. But let's say I am right and they don't like J.J. McCarthy like that, you know, and the Vikings do. So you trade down with the Vikings. And I was looking at a way to make it make sense at that point based on the trade calculator. And the Minnesota Vikings would come down. They get J.J. McCarthy, who they want. That leaves us with the other two, Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. We give up pick number 6 and pick number 47. So we're giving up our first and our second. We're getting pick number 11, pick number 23, and pick number 177. So we're moving back 5 spots. We're moving up, 24 spots, and we're getting a late round pick. That works trade calculator wise. Now, I have seen plenty of people suggest take, get 6 and get, give 6 up and get 11 and 23. If they'll take that, obviously, that's a better move. I'm just looking at, again, what is the trade calculator saying makes sense? That makes sense points-wise. So
I think it makes sense for the Giants overall as well.
Well, I'm just saying that's, and again, we talked about it on our end a minute ago. Whoever wants to trade down, sometimes they're forced to overpay. That's life. You're the one who wants it. If you want it this bad, here you go. So that might be what happens. And don't get me wrong. I could see where the Giants say, hey, give us 11 and give us 23. We'll give you 6. And the Vikings say, yes, they want them that bad. But like I said, I'm talking just practicality. That's the trade calculator, what it's saying. So now we go into, we have pick number 11. We can go ahead and get the QB of our choice of those two, whether it be Penix or Nix, without worrying about having the Raiders or the Broncos taking that spot.
Which would probably be Penix by all our mock drafts that we have done.
Listen, I'm just saying they had the option to go ahead and see Drake May or Michael Penix on their pro day, and they sent everybody to Penix. They had dinner with Penix then that night.
Yeah.
I'm not so crazy. I am, but it's a whole separate thing. At number 11 there, we go ahead and get our quarterback. We still have pick number 23. We can still go ahead and get, a good receiver at 23, maybe a Keon Coleman or somebody like that. We can still go ahead and get maybe another corner or offensive lineman if we really want to go that route. We have options.
I say there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
Plug in holes.
And who knows at 23 who's still available? You never know that. Anybody who thinks they know who's available at 23, they're just
once crazy. You start getting out of the top 10, depending on trades, once you start getting out of the top 5, you start losing track.
Dude, I can't even tell you who's going to be there at 6 when we pick if we stay put. I really can. Because it's all. I'm telling you right now, I still hear the rumors about the Chargers potentially taking a tackle, like Joe Alt. You still hear the rumors about maybe the Cardinals trading out. So what happens if it goes, quarterback, 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 Joe Alt, and then all of a sudden we get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah.
You never know. You have no clue. That's the fun of this thing. You have no clue. But like I said, in this scenario here, we go ahead and we get a receiver or another hole filled later on in the draft. We get a quarterback in the first round. because by all accounts now, if you're going to wait till the second round, you better like Bo Nix. That's what a lot of people are saying now. There are a lot of people are saying that by the mid first round, you'll probably have five quarterbacks taken.
Yeah. I 100%. Because yeah. We've talked about this countless times. Quarterback. It's most likely how it's going to go. If it stands the way it does, no one moves around, no one does anything. Caleb Williams will be a Bear.
The Bears.
DC is not moving out of that second spot. They're taking a quarterback.
I think Jane Daniels, who they take in a heartbeat. I really do.
We'll see. I mean, they might like Drake May because it is still, even though it's a lot, it's a new ownership, new coaching, new GM. We'll see what they do. And then you get the Patriots, which to me, I'm like, they might trade back. They might not. You don't know what Arizona's going to do. Marvin Harrison Jr. seems like a good fit over there.
Yeah, he fits pretty much anywhere. But I mean,
yeah, well,
you know, and part of that
quarterback, you go right there, you take the best one, and then obviously you have, I was about to say San Diego, but they're the LA Chargers.
LA Chargers. Eventually, we'll stop saying that. We'll also stop saying the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, or the derogatory Washington.
Right. But yeah, I mean, in this scenario, like I said, we get a quarterback. We have a second pick, and I know I've already seen Devin in the comments saying we need a true number one receiver, not just a pretty good receiver. There's no guarantees in the draft, though. Keep in mind, and you have to keep that in mind. Even with guys, I mean, I see Marvin Harrison's pretty much guaranteed to at least be a very good receiver, but you know, Neighbors could just fall flat in his face. It's happened before. You know, I mean, Adunze could fall flat in his face. Nothing's guaranteed in the draft. But if you get 23 and you can get like Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, Troy Franklin out of Oregon, you know, and get one of those kind of guys, you have somebody who is already potentially better than any of the receivers that we have in our draft. I mean, on our roster. A potential number one right off the bat. So it's not, like I said, it's not the get one of these top three or we can't get a top flight receiver. There's a lot of good receivers in this draft, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it also comes down to our quarterback.
That it does. And that's why we need that quarterback. And that's what I'm saying. If we leave this draft without a quarterback, and I'm not going to be particular on which one, we all know my favorite. We all know. But
my favorite.
My whole thing is I don't care which one we get. I just want to get one of them that the management around has confidence in. I want it to be where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are excited. And I think that's ridiculous if we leave with that one that they're excited about, that we made a mistake. We did something wrong. This whole draft is a mistake right off the bat because it's the most important position, and it's a massive hole in this roster.
With a lot of cheap talent coming in this year
in
the draft.
Oh, yeah. So... All right.
Let's not be like the Atlanta Falcons and pay a quarterback $50 million a year.
Exactly. When they can't win a playoff game.
Well, they could because that's a really, really crappy division. It hasn't won 10 games to win that division in a long time.
No, they get a division. They won't win the playoffs. They'll get in the playoffs and they won't win anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So next one up is an option that I'm going to tell you guys right now. It would be crazy if this happened. If you talk about setting up, like, this is what we need, this is what we're doing, and damn it all. And it's the option of taking a wide receiver at number 6. Obviously, we're getting one of the big three in that scenario, whether Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, or Rome Odunze. And then we move back up ahead of the others to still get a quarterback. Now, I looked at the logical places for us to move up to get a quarterback at that point. Keep in mind, whoever we trade with has to be okay with basically not having a first-round pick because that's where we're at. We've already used our first-round pick. So our top pick that we can trade away this next year is the second-round pick.
And kicking the can down the road.
And you got to get ahead of, in this case here, now the Vikings, potentially, because they're not going to trade you, number 11 in this case here, to go back to the second round. They need a quarterback as well. So I look at number 10, and that's the Jets. The Jets are in prime position to go ahead and get a top flight tackle. I don't think they leave that spot. I don't think they take the risk of not getting a top flight tackle considering the big injuries they had there last year to Aaron Rodgers and also the issues they have as a whole on the offensive line. This is a chance for them to go get a top flight, one of the top two or three tackles in this draft and a very good draft for tackles. They're going to take that shot. So I go to number 9, and you got the Bears sitting there who already got a quarterback. You got to figure out at 9, probably the top 3 receivers are all gone. So would the Bears potentially want to move back, get a schnikey load of picks, and have more young players to build around? Because this is still, I know people love to talk about the Bears potentially now as being like a great team next year because they're getting Caleb Williams and they got a second receiver now, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
yeah. No. For everyone out there in podcast land that's not watching us on video, there's a lot of eye rolls here.
It's going to take time, guys. You don't, yeah. Nobody goes.
It doesn't happen. No one's Patrick Mahomes besides Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's also no one starts off their career going in day one and being amazing. Look at like Peyton Manning when he came, but no, Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. If he had played that first year, who knows what would have happened? That's not even a fair comparison. But what you want to talk about the best rookie season ever? You could talk C.J. Stroud, you could talk Baker Mayfield, you could talk some of those guys. It's been more modern days at that point because it used to be you never started a rookie quarterback no matter what, but. You know, a lot of these guys fail at going, you know, looking amazing their rookie year. That's not uncommon. Last year was kind of a weird anomaly that, you know, Anthony Richardson looked very good beforehand. C.J. Stroud looked amazing, obviously. And, you know, Bryce Young didn't look good. I'll put it that way, but he didn't look horrible. He didn't look horrible. It wasn't like he was like, you know, the worst quarterback in the league at that point. He just looked like a young quarterback that was struggling.
And a bad team.
So
let's not take that away from.
Yeah. So why wouldn't the Bears potentially be interested in at least listening to what we had to offer? You know? So I got 2 scenarios here that we did. Okay. We give up pick 47. We give up pick 70. So we're giving up our 2nd and 3rd rounders this year. We're also giving up our 1st rounder and 2nd rounder next year. And again, this is a lot, guys, but this is what it's saying is what it takes. You know, this is what it takes to go ahead based on the trade calculator to go ahead and make these kind of moves. They're not going to give you the pick for nothing. And you're going to go all the way up from 47 to 9. That's a big, big jump. The other option was give up 47, 70, 107, 66, plus next year's 1st. So we're giving up 4 of our draft picks this year. Plus a 1st.
And one next year.
That leaves us with 3 draft picks left. So I don't like that one very much at all. Now, I like the 1st option better. And I forgot to mention, we do get some draft picks back with that besides number 9. I apologize. I didn't finish reading it. 47, 70 we're giving up. Plus the 1st and 2nd next year. We get back number 9. We get back 122 and a 4th rounder next year.
Yeah, that one sounds a little bit better. But at the same time, if you get Penix, it is a lot. But you get we've been dying for a number one receiver since OBJ left. We've been dying for a potentially franchise quarterback since Eli left. It's been 10 years as a Giants fan. If this management and this head coach believe these are our dudes, this will make the team that much different. And then we could go win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Listen, who wouldn't be okay with it? But that's the problem is you can make this kind of move and people are going to flip out and people are going to be happy. There'll be those 2 camps as there always is when it's the best move.
It's New York.
And whatever the outcome is for the team and what they do, that's going to determine whether or not Joe Shane and Brian Daboll still have a job.
Correct.
That'll be a career-defining decision for them.
Because they do this move, best case scenario, like we have a very good next 5 to 10 years because of this move. Worst case scenario, both of them bomb, one gets injured, whatever the scenario may be. What?
I don't think 5 years.
I say we have a good next 5 to 10 years, not it takes to develop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the whole thing's crazy, man. The whole thing is just crazy. There's so much risk with this kind of move. It's not even funny. So much risk. And like I said, I would definitely do the one where we give up our 2nd and 3rd because you're already losing a 3rd round pick base. You got to look at it that way. You're losing a 3rd round pick this year.
Yeah.
That's all you're losing. You know, you're getting, you know, you're, and at that point, you're not even losing a 3rd round. You're losing a 3rd round and going down 70 to 122. So you're going down a little bit there. You're getting back a fourth. So you're definitely giving up more for next year. You're giving up the first and the second, but you get an extra fourth. It, like I said, I don't know. It, to me, if you are, listen, I'll put it this way. If you are positive that this is the guy, and that's what it takes to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
You better be positive, though. And I'm telling you right now, if you can pair the top flight receiver from this draft and get the quarterback that you think is worthy of building around, this could be one of the biggest draft moves in the history of the Giants, right up there with the Eli Manning night,
trade.
The trade there as far as the first round trade with him and Rivers and all that stuff that I see Deb talking about here in the comments as well. You know, I don't think you'll see a scenario where somebody drafts, you know, because she's asked about to see the possibility of that kind of scenario. I don't think you'll ever see it again, probably in our lifetime, where somebody drafts a player just to trade him like that. But I could see that kind of spot where we go, you know what? Let's go ahead and make that kind of move. Make a big trade. Make a huge splash. Show the NFL we're serious about rebuilding. Because that's the serious, I'm here to rebuild kind of move at that point. You're not giving up too much capital to do, I don't think. But you're giving up too much if it's not a guy you're sold on. You have to be sold on that guy.
Correct. I was about to say, if you think those guys are your dudes that you're going to build this organization and this offense around,
yeah,
then you do it. Is this going to be your Burrow and Chase? Then you do.
Yeah. And like I said, you're not giving up too much this year. It's next year. So it's basically, are you okay with giving up your first two picks next year and only getting a fourth rounder next year to replenish that? So that would mean we'd have a third round, 3 fourth rounds to start, because we're going to get a comp pick supposedly in the fourth round, at least the way things are working right now. So we'd have 3 fourth round picks. So it's going to be a depth move, but you're also going to have a lot more cap space next year because you're getting rid of, in theory, Daniel Jones.
Correct. So you have the opportunity to do a lot of free agent and signs.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a thing. I'm okay. Again, if you're sold on, I'm okay with it, because if you think that's the guy, listen, you could build the greatest team in the goddamn world. If you don't have a quarterback, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. You know, yes. And granted, not everyone is Tom Brady. Let me be very clear before I make this analogy. Not everyone is Tom Brady. But what happened when the Bucs got him? They went from a team that couldn't get in the playoffs with Jameis Winston to a Super Bowl winner in one offseason. That's how important the position is.
I mean, I was not that I was an Alex Smith fan. I just felt like he was very underrated in what he did. But then Patrick Mahomes was the dude that they drafted for, and look the difference he made.
I was a little shocked when they made that move too.
Yeah,
you're giving up on Alex Smith. Like, he's doing pretty good, I thought. But yeah, obviously they made the right move, and that's the biggest thing. Like, you can't be afraid to make the big move, because the biggest moves may set you back the most, but they also set you forward the most.
Correct.
So sometimes you got to have a pair. Just make the move.
Just grab those cojones and go.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We have another option here for you guys. And do you want to
tackle some of the comments first? Should we finish this up and go?
You know what? You're right. Let's pay the bills. Let's get tackle the comments. Yeah. And then we got a couple more options to go over with you guys. Good call. Good call. Good sir.
Let's say.
Enjoying the show. Looking for more goofball action? Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Memberships start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofball.
All right, we got Connor starting off with some lyrics here. 21 days of the draft and time keeps on slipping. Into the future. Fly like a giant to the Super Bowl trophy. Let's see how I left that stupid eagle part out. Listen, it's not that eagle. It's a different eagle. It's the post office eagle. Remember, that was the post office song for a while. Who would have thought Lenny Kravitz would be the post office song?
I mean, that wasn't it Steve Miller Band that originally did that?
I thought that was him?
And then Lenny Kravitz remade it for Space Jam?
Oh, yes, that's exactly right. Oh, you know what it wasn't? It wasn't Lenny Kravitz.
It was R. Kelly?
Seal. It was Seal.
Way off.
Wow. Kiss Morose Seal himself.
Yeah. Kissed by a bald eagle.
But yeah, Steve Miller did do it originally, and then Seal redid it for Space Jam. That's the version I always hear about it, though. And you know what? Now that I'm hearing it in my head, the whole song, yes, that is obviously Seal. I don't know why I was thinking Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lenny Kravitz just redid every other song, but he went short as Jimi Hendrix songs he did, not Steve Miller. Yeah. I've never seen somebody get so popular that was so obviously trying to be somebody else.
Mm.
Lenny Kravitz is like the Wish version of Jimi Hendrix.
I was about to say, he was the reverse version of Bob Dylan. That guy has so many amazing songs that were played better by way better.
It was like a weeded out version of Porky the Pig singing. All right, let's see here. Connor says, either way, Redskins, Washington Football Team, Commanders, whoever they are, is not getting a good. They are. Well, whoever they are is getting a good QB. Yeah, no, they're going to get a ton of. I think Jaden Daniels, myself, personally. To me, I think he can end up. And again, I've said it before, and we've had a lot of haters, honestly, lately on the comments section, especially on YouTube, about our talk about Caleb Williams. I don't think Caleb Williams is a bad player. I just think he's going to fail miserably in Chicago because that's a rough city. And I don't think he has the mental makeup for it. I really don't. And again, I don't know the guy personally. I could be wrong. But because of that is why I think Jaden Daniels is the top QB out
there. We talked about it during the season, too. Like, when he threw that game-winning, well, the game-losing interception.
Yeah.
He jumped in the stance to hug his mom and cry.
I mean, he was sobbing.
Yeah. That's not going to fly. That's not going to fly in Chicago.
Nope. Not going to happen.
You got to stick with the winds that burns your ears and then eat a hot slice of deep dish pizza. As
you guys know, with 100 years of no rings from the Cubs, you think they know they know pain?
Yeah.
Let's see. Connor says, I love how they say, yeah, but JJ is used to cold weather. He'll be great. Minnesota, it's a dome, right? LOL. Don't think that matters. I think that's...
It does matter. I never heard. It does matter because you're going to have to play in Lambeau Field twice a year.
Well, you're still going to play in cold places, but yeah, I mean, I'm with Connor, but I haven't heard that talked about with the Vikings specifically. I have heard that talked about with us, that if he went to us, that he'd be great because he's used to cold weather and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think the cold weather thing is that big a deal. I really don't. Just me. I don't know.
It depends on the extreme cold to extreme heat. Like, you got to say, Miami loses a step here and there when they play like Lambeau.
Yeah, but
they also run at like 27,000 miles an hour. So when they go to 26,000,
it's also you can play or you can't play. That's my thing. You're good or you're not. You know, Connor says, well, when they play Chicago Green Bay, I guess it will. There we go. He's saying that, which I think cake bad for Chicago. Cake,
Caleb probably.
Oh, I thought he said cake. I want cake now.
Right, Caleb.
I can go for a nice cheesecake.
Diabetes.
Let's see. Deb says the draft 2018. Josh Allen is the only QB taken in round one that is a franchise QB. Lamar Jackson was taken in the third, I believe. Odds of getting a franchise QB? Note, Lamar Jackson was a late first round pick. The Ravens traded back up into the first to go ahead and get him, which is an interesting segue we might be talking about in a moment here. Because I think they traded up to pick 32, the last pick of the draft, if I'm right. The first round, I should say, the draft.
I believe so.
If I remember correctly, that was the trade. But yes, I mean, again, you never know. And that's the craziness, especially with years like this. Like, you get all these different quarterbacks, and it's like, well, obviously, all six of them are not going to produce in the NFL, probably. But it looked like the 2004 quarterback class. There was three big names. All three of them, you could say, had really good careers. You can't be upset if you're either one of those guys with a career you had. You know, you can go back to, you know, the 84 was 84 when they had Marino and Elway and all those guys at that point there. You know, there's just certain classes that are just really, really good. Now, if you notice what I just said, 84, 04, 24.
Ooh, 2004.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. I did do that. Yes. The 84 QB, let's see here. I'm curious here now. Who was... Oh, you know what? 83 was that year. I take it back. 83 was that year, so it doesn't work. 84, Boomer Esiason came out, so I guess it was a good year. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the guys who came out at that point, QB-wise, 83, you got John Elway, you got Todd Blackledge, which obviously that wasn't a great pick at that point there. Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, you know, Ken O'Brien, that's an Dan Marino, that's a good. So I think this is going to be a similar to draft to that. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think you have three necessarily Hall of Fame caliber guys like this, where you go with Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, and you know, John Elway. But here's a scenario where you have six QBs were drafted in the first round. Three of them had good careers, three of them had bad careers. And that's probably what you're looking at with this kind of scenario. You know,
Andrew, you're right. Pick number 32.
Okay, with Lamar Jackson. Okay, I thought it was 32. I thought it was. See, Devil says the Chicago has not drafted and developed a franchise QB since the 40s, was a quote I heard. Caleb in Chicago will be really interesting. Yeah, I mean, they definitely don't have a good record of doing that. I mean, if you really want to get into it, the best quarterback they probably had in my lifetime, you could go either Jim McMahon or you can go, you had to go, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler probably Tim was talented Tebow. Quarterback. Tim Tebow was never a Chicago Bear. If he was, he could have been number one.
It's great. They're probably Jay Cutler, would have to say.
Tony Mann who throws a Hail Mary and then says 10 Hail Marys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's what we're probably looking at is Jay Cutler probably the most talented quarterback they've had. They didn't develop him. Jim McMahon, again, now we're talking the 80s when I was a wee little kid here, so I don't want to pretend to sit there and say I know Jim McMahon and his whole career there. He was a Jersey boy, though, Borough in Jersey City. But yeah, no, he started off at 82, drafted by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
So there you go. He had seven seasons in Chicago. Chicago, don't you know?
Oh, Chicago.
But he threw almost as many interceptions as he did touchdowns. He threw over 2,000 yards twice. And that's it. So, yeah, I wouldn't say he had a great career. I think he probably just mostly recognized because of the 85 Bears, obviously, which was probably his best record. His best season he had was also that year. So, yeah, you know, they have not had good luck. You know, whether there's Mitch Trubisky, Rex Grossman, Kyle all these guys Orton. They've drafted, it's just Kyle Orton. Ooh, forgot that one. They just don't work out. They just don't tend to make the right pick. You know, even some of the crazy contracts they gave, like Mike Glennon and stuff like that. Like, it's just they just have had issues at quarterback forever. And I think that's, you know, it's why the fans are excited. They should be excited. I like it. Excited fan base. You know, I'm hoping that we make a big splash ourselves in draft night. That makes us an excited fan base. But yeah, they're just a train wreck Chicago, as Connor says, very true. Deb. Deb says we need a true number one receiver, not just a pretty good receiver. Listen, we all want a number one receiver. There's only so many of them out there, though. That's the beauty of this whole thing, is that sometimes you can go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get a whole bunch of number twos and put up a good wide receiver core. And there's something to be said for that still. I mean, if you look what we got, you know, you got Slayton, you got Wandale, you got Hyatt.
Right.
You got some good talent there. You're just missing an alpha. Got a whole bunch of betas, no alphas. So sometimes it's just, you know, you make do what you got. And you say, you know what? If we can get a number one further on down the line, whether it's trade or draft, maybe we just do it later on. But for now, we do what we got. But I think in this scenario, because she made this comment, we talked about you know, trading down with the Vikings and getting 11 and 23. In that scenario, again, at 23, you got some options still. You got Franklin. You got Coleman. You know, you got Brian Thomas, maybe. Not sure if he'd still be there at 23 or not, but I'm saying, like, you have options. And I think we still can have a much better team than we do now this way. Connor says, Washington might finally get good with the QB. I'm repeating myself. Yes, you are. Deb says, receivers seem to be a bigger risk than QB. Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. It just seems like, though, you know, you have these, some of these guys that the people just think are going to be the most amazing receivers ever, and they just don't pan out sometimes. But I think that's just the draft in general. I mean, like, what's his name? I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank at his name, so hopefully somebody can remember this year. Who's the guy the Bills drafted the same year that OBJ came out? and Mike Evans came out, and all these guys came out, and he says this would be the greatest receiver. This guy's going to be a can't miss prospect, and he just couldn't do it. He ended up getting paid a lot of money. He was on the Chiefs. He was on the Ravens. It's going to annoy me. I'm looking
was
here.
It same draft class? Was 2013?
Sammy Watkins.
Oh, yeah, Watkins. He had a good career. He was a good Robin. He was just never the Batman that he was supposed to be.
He was never that good. He was never that good. I will fight that to the death there at that point, because I think people kept – he lived off of the status he had in that draft class forever. He really did. So he's 30 years old.
His first year in KC, I think he had a good year, no?
So he had 982 yards his rookie season, had 1,047. And then after that, 430. 530, 500, 673, 400, 300. Now, he's not a scrub, don't get me wrong, but he's not a number one. You know, he ended up with 5,000 career yards, assuming his career is done because he didn't play last year at all. No one picked him up ever. But
probably not going to
happen. Yeah, if you take a year off, you're probably done. So, yeah. But again.
Especially at that age. Overworld.
you get to a certain point where you just got to recognize, again, no matter how much you say, how much you do, it's not always going to work out. That's just life. Some guys just aren't that good. I mean, imagine the weight of, you know, the guys in Buffalo that were in there. I don't think the current regime was there at the time, but you go ahead and draft Sammy Watkins. And then later on, you see OBJ come out, light it up. You see Mike Evans becoming a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah.
He did it very quietly.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you got Brandon Cooks. He's still, you know, really good in this league. Jarvis Landry
had a good. He's still solid. Still
yeah, wins. But I'm saying, you know, Devontae Adams was in that draft class. Jarvis Landry was in that draft class. You know, like there's some guys in this draft class that you're like, you could have gotten a really good guy. He's just didn't do it. You know, Demaryius Thomas, obviously, you know. Why is he coming up? He's not there. He was before that. Google, stupid Google. Anyway, but yeah, it was a really good draft class that year. Let's see. Connor says, do we not think Hyatt could be our number one receiver that we're looking at another? Yes. If anybody thinks Jalen Hyatt is the answer right now, I'm sorry. But whatever you're smoking, you start sharing, because the man ended up with 373 yards his rookie season.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't scream potential number one.
It doesn't, but at the same time, look at the snap count. Look at the different quarterbacks he had to play with.
Oh, I'm not suggesting he's going to be a bad player. Let me get that off the bat. Yeah. I'm just saying, to think that a guy's going to go from 23 receptions his rookie year to becoming a number one year two, that's asking a lot. That's really just asking a lot.
I hear what you're saying, but it's also he was not asked a lot to year when a lot of
his snap count, by the way, was 51%.
Which was way higher at the beginning of the year towards the end of the year, than the beginning of the year.
I'm saying that's flat out for the season. 51%.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
They just did. Here's total snaps. The Giants had an offense, the total snaps he was in. So you're still talking, if you double it, even he had 700 yards.
Yeah. Well, as a rookie, it's not terrible.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying he's going to be
you're never going to be at 102% of the snaps, though, either.
You never know.
I mean,
you
in all fairness, if he was starting, if he was starting, he probably would have been about 600 yards, because you figure 75-80% of the snaps.
Yeah, with
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't be good. I'm not saying he's not going to develop. I'm not down on Hyatt. I'm just saying to expect him to come in and be a number one receiver next year is just
I don't think that's what he's saying either. I think he's just saying that he could be.
Well, no, he said. Point blank. We go back up now. Scroll down. Says. Do we not think Hyatt can't be our number one receiver that we're looking for at another?
That's not saying next year. It's saying
yes.
Do you not think he could be one?
Yes, I don't think he can be. He has shown me nothing to say that he can be. That's not to say he won't develop into one. It's not saying it's impossible. Just saying I don't think it's there. I just don't. Connor says, I say we get alt. We can always get receivers and QBs later. I think we already fixed our line as best as we're going to go.
Yeah.
We already did it in a free agency. Now, keep in mind, if you get alt is a left tackle. You're moving him to right tackle, which is a lot of what people say was the problem with Evan Neely moved him. So now you want to move another guy. I don't think that's the right move. Now, if there was a stud right tackle, we'd be having that conversation perhaps. But you're moving a guy again. And you can't just think it's going to work automatically, because he played left tackle his whole career at Notre Dame. He was 100. If I remember correctly, he was 100% a left tackle. So Evan Neal at least had some experience on the right hand side. You know, I don't buy. I also don't buy the BS. That's why he's not playing good. But I'm just saying. Yeah, last three seasons, every single snap was left tackle for Joe Alt. I just double checked the PFF. So yeah, moving him, I think is you're asking too much.
It's too much.
Connor says, are we in the hook for anything if Waller retires this year? Let's see here. Where'd it go? I had it here up.
I think it's like 6.5.
No, I had the exact numbers as I saw the comment when it came up. So I already pulled up over the cap to see. If he plays, he makes 14, just under 14.1. If he retires, he's got a dead cap hit of 7.376 million. And we get save about 6.7 million. So we got not all savings. That's for damn sure. Deb says, do you see the possibility of the Manning Rivers center? And we already kind of went over that. I don't see that is happening. I don't think I'm going to trade a draft a player. The only reason that happened, point blank, was Ernie Accorsi. He drafted Rivers because they couldn't agree to a deal with the Chargers. He knew that's who the Chargers wanted, a quarterback. So they figured draft the guy that the Chargers wants and they'll get the deal to happen. They'll figure it out because they knew the Chargers had to trade him. So I'm saying that's a weird scenario you'll probably never see again.
Yeah.
Connor says, don't give up early picks first to third round, build a team. You got to build a team. But again, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not building anything. That's like trying to build a house without a foundation. So Connor says, might as well keep Daniels as backup no matter what. It's just one more year. And if he comes back this year, plays great, new team, new QB can sit and learn. I don't want to play him this year. The big thing is, you got to remember, Connor, if he gets hurt this year, what we owe him next year doubles. I'm telling you right now, if the Giants played this man with the neck injuries and all he's had, they are risking way too much and they're stupid. I wouldn't want to practice. I'd say go on vacation for a year. Go enjoy it. Here's $14 million to do jack shit the next year. Or $40 million, whatever we're paying this guy. $48 million, things like that. Ridiculous. Absolutely insanity. But if you, like I said, if you get him hurt, whether it's practice, game time, whatever, you know, owe him the whole $41.6 million next year instead of the $22.2 we would owe if we cut him right now. There goes $19 million in cap savings. Go on.
See you later. Bye.
$19 million. That's a big freaking number. Bad enough we got to pay him $47.9 million this year. Let's see. Connor says, Steele did it too. Yes. Yeah. He said, by the way, you're supposed to sing in lyric in the song mode. Actually say giant, giant, giant to the Super Bowl trophy. Yeah. I don't think the Giants win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think that's going to happen. I just call me crazy. I just don't think so. let's see. Kind of says Boomer Esiason came out. Ruh-roh, does his wife know? I'd assume she knows. I don't know.
I hope so.
Came out in the draft. Pervert. let's see here. Next up, he says, Connor says, not Hyatt fault with O-line. O-line, yeah. He said, Hyatt played better with Tommy Cutlets. Still think Cutlets can get better. No. Tommy DeVito had a ceiling. It was a very low ceiling. It was like a vaulted ceiling. It temporarily went up just to go back down again. More like a circus tent.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So, and yeah, Hyatt played better.
You see Lord of the Rings, you go to the Shire.
I still think Hyatt is a good player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not down on Hyatt. I'm not sitting there saying he's not.
You said he's terrible. We all heard.
What I'm just saying is to put that on that man to sit there and say you have to be our number one receiver because we were stupid. That's on us.
We got him in the third round. No one's saying he's stupid.
No, but I'm saying for us to sit there and say we have to put this guy as the number one receiver next year, you're setting him to fail. You're putting him in a position that's not his spot to be in, you know?
Yeah.
Connor says, good to have two great left tackles. One could play right tackle. It's not always that easy. Some guys don't excel when they move over. They just don't. And you're not moving Andrew Thomas over. You move Andrew Thomas over, I'll be pissed as hell. The one freaking good lineman you have, you need to wreck him.
He came in like a wrecking ball.
Let's see. Connor says, well, they insist Daniel is playing QB. So, yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing. I'm telling you right now. It's all smoke and mirrors. They also said they expected to have Wake Martindale back. So what does that tell you?
Six days later, he was gone.
Yeah. let's get into the other options we got here. Because we're starting, we're almost an hour in here, guys. We got a couple more options to go over still. So let's see. Next one is exactly the scenario that Deb brought up with Lamar Jackson. The Ravens went in and they said, you know what? Lamar Jackson's still there. We want him. We're trading up to number 32 to get that fifth year option, which considering how contract negotiations went out, that, you know, that seems to work out pretty well for them at that point, because that was definitely a fight and a half to get a contract done for Lamar Jackson. So obviously to pick 32 is with the Chiefs. So let's say hypothetically that a good quarterback is there at 32 that we like, regardless of who they like. Again, I don't know who Joe Shane likes. I have no clue who Brian Dable likes. I have to imagine at this point that if that scenario happens, it's probably Bo Nix. From all we're hearing, basically all the quarterbacks will probably be gone at that point except for Bo Nix. But let's say the Giants like Bo Nix. There's something they like about him. They want to get him, and they want to get this fifth, you know, fifth-year option. Then the Giants would have to trade up with the Chiefs to get that pick 32. You know, it worked out really weird, to be honest, this one. Like, there was a lot of, like, when I went to the calculator to get it exactly right, I had to move around a lot of different picks to make it worth. So what I ended up doing was we gave up pick 47, 70, and 107. We got back 32, 95, and 131, which was interesting because we didn't lose any picks. We just went down in two picks. And down a significant amount, almost a draft, one full round each, you know, each time. I'm not so sure that that would make sense for the Chiefs to do, but that's what the trade calculator says it do. And like I said, regardless, this is, again, the same kind of thing as what we talked about earlier. If they think that that's the right move to make and they have all the confidence in Bo Nix, or if somebody else happens to fall they like, I don't think Penix is falling. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is falling. So that's why I'm kind of centering on Bo Nix right now. If they think that Bo Nix is that guy, then do it. And the nice thing is, if you make a move like that, I don't think you take the same heat as the prior move we talked about where you gave up all these picks to go back into the, you know, pick nine.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a much easier one to go ahead and play at that point. That you can say, listen, we took a shot in a quarterback. We want to make sure we got him. We want to make sure we got the fifth round year, fifth year if it worked out. And now we went ahead and got a player that we can develop, and we didn't give up that much to get him.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy,
yeah,
especially, I mean, said for Bo Nix, like, obviously he's not our number one pick, but like, you got the opportunity, a guy like that, like, he could have a good NFL career.
Yeah, like I said, that's legitimately, like I said, I'm not a big Bo Nix fan, but again, if they are, I'm not going to sit there and knock them on that.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a coach. I don't know how to develop NFL talent like they do, especially at that level. So if they see something that they like, let's go.
Now, here's what they did do. I looked to see what they did do with that pick when the Ravens traded up. And the Ravens traded up with the Eagles. The Eagles are the ones that actually held that pick. So they sent their 52nd pick, 125th, and a second rounder the next year to the Eagles in exchange for 32 and pick 132. So basically, yeah, they gave up a second and third round pick, which is what we're talking about here at that point there. But it's all in the same draft, which is why we're getting some stuff back as well. Said, I'm not so sure which way to go. I'm not, like I said, I just, maybe in this case here, because I just don't like Bo Nix, and that's who I think would be available in that scenario. But it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said,
I mean,
if you like Bo Nix, and like obviously, Nick, you know,
it's pretty right there.
Well, keep in mind, though, we got like 30% the information that they have, at the
draft. I don't know the medical.
They have a lot more. They don't have the medical. We don't have the interview process at that point, unless Bo Nix wants to come on the show. Come on down.
Yeah.
But
you're an ex contestant on Who's a Goofball?
We just don't have that option there. So, next up, I want to go over one last option here for you guys. And this is an option that I heard at the, I actually read online. Somebody was talking about it and kind of posted some pictures on a Facebook group. And unfortunately, I don't know who was the one who suggested it at first. So unfortunately, I can't give proper credit to where proper credit is due. But here was the option. It was kind of similar to the second option we gave. The suggestion was trade number 6 to the Vikings. Get pick 11, get pick 23, which we talked about doing that in that scenario. We said, you know, then go get a quarterback at 11. You get another extra second first round pick. You can get whoever later on. They were saying, yeah, go get the quarterback at 11. but then trade number three to the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. Now you have the top flight receiver. Like I said, it's a very interesting option at that point there. You know, Brandon Ayuk is a guy that you could sit there and say is a top receiver. He's also 26 years old, so he's still, you know, younger at that point there. 1,300 yards last season, 7 touchdowns, just over 1,000 yards the year before with 8 touchdowns. This is a legit first, you know, receiver at that point there. And here's the problem you run into, though. It's a $14 million cap hit he's got this year. That's the problem. You'd have to extend him and lower that big time.
That, and as a fantasy owner of Ayuk, who followed what he did, he is, as long as there's a Batman there, he also is the Batman. But when Deebo Samuel was hurt, he typically didn't play as well. He also would go in a game 50 yards and then come back and get you 120 yards. So I don't know if that's scheming from the 49ers because they had so many weapons or...
But I do think while Deebo...
I'm not trying to take you away from Ayuk because he's fantastic. Yeah.
While Deebo is a better player than him, I do think, we've talked about it before, I think Wandale Robinson is going to have a coming out party this year.
Yep.
Now, we talked about Hyatt. I can't expect him to be number one. And I'm not saying I expect Wandale to be a number one, but I expect him to be a big-time receiver this year. I really do. I think a legit number two is what he's going to be. But now we have a guy that we could put in the position to go ahead and be, you know, a number one receiver in this scenario of Brandon Ayuk. You know, you got him as a speedy kind of guy. You got Wandale as your second. You got Hyatt there to be your third. Another speedy guy there.
Yeah, and
now you've had a Wandale, good core.
And Wandale could do some of the trick plays that Deebo does. Is he as good? Have we seen him do it? We see him tear his ACL and come back next season and play like he tore his ACL.
My only thing is, though, is that do we really want to go ahead and get a guy like Brandon Ayuk that we got to pay right off the bat?
That's my only... That's
like, you got to pay him, pay him. Like, it's not like... Like you said, you're going to have to get the number down. Probably the first year, if I had to guess, your big thing is you probably only make this move if Darren Waller retires, because then you got 6.7 that clears up. So you get his cap number down to 6.7 this year, and you have to pay him like $25 million a year going forward. Now, if you got a rookie quarterback, you know, then that helps you for the next couple of years to give him a, you know, a bigger contract, you know, because you got that rookie quarterback deal going.
Yeah. Yeah. But, pay either the wide receiver or the quarterback.
But yeah,
it's Stephon Diggs.
Well, Stephon Diggs, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I read today that apparently they restructured his deal to give him like $3 million extra this year. Plus, on top of that, he is a free agent next year.
Hmm.
So they basically gave up a second round pick for 1 year of Stephon Diggs. That's a little crazy. A little bit crazy.
Yeah.
But either way, like I said, I think it's an interesting option. I actually kind of like I said, I wish I could tell you guys who had suggested it. And I wish whoever had posted in the Facebook group that I saw it at didn't cut off that part of it there. Because that's an interesting move. Brandon Ayuk is a legit receiver. That's a legit receiver there. But again, and you got to sign him long term.
And there's issues going on in San Francisco with him. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been talks about him moving now for the last, you know, 2 years, the second offseason in a row. And where there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, with how many years we talked about it with Stephon Diggs before they finally just made the move. Where there's smoke, there's fire. But then the other part of that is, and again, we don't have the information, but what's going on in San Francisco? Why does he want out? What's the issue?
I was going to say,
is it money or is it, you know, like I said, he's in his fifth year. He got a huge increase, like $4 million last year to 14 this year, because based on the production he's given. But it's like, does he want that massive, massive contract? Is that the issue? Like, does he want $20 million a year to be a receiver?
Could be that. I mean, Shanahan's also not known to be the best guy to work for sometimes.
Yeah, but you're winning. I feel like winning kind of, you know.
Trumps everything.
Kinda, yeah. It's not that trumps everything. You kind of ignore it because you're okay being in a winning spot, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I just look at that and go, I can really see some pros in that. There's a risk. Because you're going to sign a guy to a long-term deal right off the bat that hasn't played a snap for you yet. But it'd be the second time we do it today with him and Spider. This year, I should say, with him and Spider. So, yeah, that's, like I said, that's an interesting aspect of this whole thing. And I think that again, we have a lot of options. And I think what it boils down to in the end is we just have to trust Joe Shane. We have to trust Brian Daboll because he's going to be involved in it as well. I don't think they're going to let him, they're not going to make any move without him being involved. And absolutely, they're going to go ahead and make a move at some point, I think. I'd be shocked if the Giants stay put. I really would be. Shocked. And I don't know which way they move up. Like, they would talk about all these different options, what they could do. But they have so many different options here, what they can do. And there's not a single one I could look at and go, that's ridiculous. Not a single one. Now, the one I will say is probably the most ridiculous is trading, getting the top receiver at 6, then trading back up to, you know, back up into the first, like number 9 at that point. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, that's a little aggressive.
Yeah, that's highly aggressive. That's more than a little aggressive. But you got a lot of nice options here. And you got a lot of options that have a lot of pros and a lot of cons. And you have to weigh those out and you have to decide what's best for the franchise based on the information that you have. And like I said, they have a lot more options and information than we do. So we'll have to trust them. So that's where we're at, guys. So got 3 weeks to go. Today is officially 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Until the draft. So next week, guys, we'll be back doing our breakdown of positions here. We're going to have for you corner. We're going to have for you linebacker. We're going to have edge. We got a little defensive line to go over still, too, as well. So we got 4 different positions to go. I know you'll probably be shocked, but we're probably going to skip the kickers and punters. I know it's a shock, but we're probably going to skip it. So, like I said, we got some more information to go over there for you guys still draft-wise, prepping for this draft here. Again, we also have all of our individual player profiles separately on YouTube as well. So if there's just one particular player interested on, you can head over to YouTube, and that's right on there on the page, youtube.com/@2GiantGoofballs there, youtube.com/@2GiantGoofballs. As always, guys, we are live every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, Twitch, Instagram, when I remember to hit the button, which I did today. Hello, Instagram.
Yay.
And, of course, Rob's favorite.
Drew's LinkedIn page.
My LinkedIn profile. Oh, yes. And, of course, we're always available the next day on all the audio platforms there as well. So we're on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Google, all those fun ones there at that point. That if you haven't already, do me a favor, hit a like, hit the subscribe, give a share, please. Much appreciated. If you use multiple platforms, feel free to like and share them all. We really appreciate that. We'll see you guys again Monday. So have a happy, safe weekend there. Enjoy yourselves. Don't do anything I wouldn't do, including, you know, getting drunk in a ditch and not remember the next day where you are. Appreciate you guys as always, and we will see you guys Monday. As always, Giant fans,
go G-Man! G-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right?